You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. You've probably heard the old saying that you can't boil the ocean. That's a caution against trying to do too much all at once. But there's a subtle hint in that saying that my guests are concerned about. What happens when the ocean starts to literally heat up, even a little? My guests are both scientists from Southern Oregon Climate Action Now, also known as SOCAN. Dr. Alan Journay is a co-founder and co-facilitator of SOCAN. Welcome, Dr. Journay.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a thrill to be here once again.
And Dr. Bill Gorham is a marine biologist living in Brookings. He serves on the SOCAN Board of Directors. Dr. Gorham will be speaking at the Medford Public Library on October 28th at 6 p.m. His topic is titled, Heat Beneath the Waves, How Climate Change Transforms Our Seas. Welcome, Dr. Gorham.
Hello, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, but I guess you're going to ruin my day with some news about climate change. But before we get to that, Dr. Journay, let's start with some background on SOCAN. Tell me about the organization.
Yes, I'd be happy to. Southern Oregon Climate Action Now was started in 2012. We were the first grassroots climate activist organization in Southern Oregon. When my wife and I moved here a couple of years before that, we were surprised that there wasn't one in Progressive Ashland already. So we decided, well, we'll correct that. And so we had a meeting in September, I think it was 2012, which attracted about 70 people. And we've just gone from strength to strength since then. And we have been delighted by the support from throughout the region, particularly in the Rogue Valley.
Well, people are very concerned about the environment here.
Yeah, and Bill Gorham, incidentally, was an instrumental in establishing a coastal branch of SOCAN, which we called for a long time Coastal SOCAN for years, and finally we smartened up and invited him to join the board, and we're delighted that he's been with the board ever since.
Okay, and that's your cue, Dr. Gorham. Tell me first about your background.
I fell in love with the ocean from being a kid. I grew up in Illinois, which is kind of a long ways from the ocean, but we spent summer vacations there, and I decided I needed to be doing something to be near the ocean, so marine biology seemed like a good thing. So I went on and got my undergraduate and graduate degrees focusing on invertebrate zoology, but really focusing a lot of ecology. I spent 30 years as an environmental consultant, and retiring here to Brookings, was able to focus most of my time on advocating for action on climate, and been very fortunate to be associated with SOCAN. And it's given me an opportunity to talk to people, educate people about a whole bunch of different things, but particularly the intersection of ocean and climate change.
And how long have you been in Brookings?
We've been here 8 years now.
And how long have you been with SOCAN?
8 years.
So the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a fellow here, Ed Patterson, who just passed away, who was instrumental. He was talking with Alan and Kathy, his wife, that started SOCAN. And Ed posed some interesting questions of saying, what's going to happen? What's our future going to be? Because he was very concerned. He was Ed's a lover of children of all ages. And so he was sort of the instigation of it. And we got he had talked actively with Kathy and Alan. And so what can we do here? And Coastal SOCAN was what came out of it.
Okay. So what are your concerns about the ocean?
Well, it's captured easily in the beginning, like you said, it's the heating of the ocean, but it's heating the whole planet. One of the interesting aspects about talking about climate change and the oceans is that we talk about heating the atmosphere, but Earth's actually covered by a surface of about 71% ocean. So we are really a water planet. And it's actually a very, very good thing because the oceans have taken up a massive amount of the energy that's been captured through the excess greenhouse gases. On the order of 93% of the extra heat has gone into the ocean. The average temperature is about 59, 60 degrees Fahrenheit. And the suggestion is if it weren't for the ocean picking up so much of the heat, it'd be about, say, 122 degrees Fahrenheit, which clearly is not suitable for life of any kind on the surface. So that is a big, big reason to watch what all's going in, what's happening because of that extra heat in the ocean.
Where's all this heat coming from?
It's because of the greenhouse gases that are trapping the heat coming into the Earth. As the Earth warms up, it re-radiates it back out as infrared. But a lot of that infrared gets captured. And as we add more of the greenhouse gases to the atmosphere, more of the heat gets retained, and everything heats up.
So aren't our forests doing some of that work of capturing, Dr. Jenny?
Well, the critical thing is there are two things we're talking about. One is the carbon dioxide and the other greenhouse gases in the atmosphere and their capacity to absorb and re-radiate heat that's actually reflecting from the surface of the Earth. So that's one thing. And the oceans, and Bill will probably talk about this, the oceans are also sucking up a vast amount of carbon dioxide, and we're grateful to them for doing that. So one thing is the carbon dioxide and the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. And the other question is, where is the heat actually going, as Bill said? We tend to think, because we are terrestrial organisms, our focus is always on the atmosphere. But if we were marine mammals, we would care less about the atmosphere and more about the oceans, and the oceans are warming up also, not as fast as the atmosphere because of the properties of water, but they are warming up. They're also absorbing a vast amount of carbon dioxide and becoming very acidic, as you probably have heard. And so we as terrestrial organisms are tremendously grateful to our oceans for doing these two things, one, sucking up the heat, and two, sucking up the carbon dioxide.
My guests are two scientists from Southern Oregon Climate Action Now, or SOCAN, Dr. Alan Journay and Dr. Bill Gorham. SOCAN is hosting Dr. Gorham at the Medford Public Library on October 28th at 6 p.m. His presentation is titled Heat Beneath the Waves, How Climate Change Transforms Our Seas. Now, Dr. Gorham, I hate to pit two scientists against one another, but Dr. Journay just told us that we terrestrials are grateful to the ocean dwellers, and you told me that the ocean dwellers far outnumber the terrestrials, and so here's this minority of humans living on land doing a lot of damage that's causing problems for the majority of the population on the Earth, which lives underneath the ocean, and they could care less about the air environment because their ocean environment is really in trouble. And I'm trying to figure out what's happening down there.
Well, it's the extra heat that's gone into the ocean affecting things. A lot of the animals, plants as well, especially the smaller plants, phytoplankton, are very sensitive to small changes in the heat. It's kind of interesting. There is a very small blue-green alga. It's one of the smallest phytoplankton that you can come up with. It's about 1/70th the size of a human hair. It's very, very tiny, and yet it's found as probably the most common phytoplankton in the world in the oceans, the warm oceans. And they're fairly sensitive. They produce something on the order of 40 to 50% of the oxygen that we have in our atmosphere, and yet they are very sensitive, and a few degrees extra heat in the ocean could make them reduce their productivity significantly. And when you have something, despite being incredibly small, it is amazingly common, and it is producing so much that we all, whether terrestrial or marine animals, are needing. It's the oxygen. And if we tweak it a little bit, that means our oxygen's done. Our productivity has changed. Our requirements as humans of having food coming from the oceans, the balance of the ecosystems of the oceans for reefs or for upwelling here off our coast. It's all tied together. So the challenge is not to pit terrestrial against marine. We need to recognize that we're all working within a very delicate balance, and we need to pay attention to that.
So we all need each other, and you're telling me that these ecosystems, both terrestrial and marine ecosystems, are interrelated and connected and interdependent, and they're fragile.
Absolutely. People do say that, well, we're killing the planet, we're making it too hot. That's not true exactly, and Alan will probably echo the thought, is that no matter what happens to us, the planet will continue going. Life will continue to go on. It may not be suitable for us because we have a fairly narrow band within which we can operate. We can use a lot of technology to deal with extreme environments, but that's not a long-term solution. That's a short-term Band-Aid. So, like, it's really important to recognize that we are integral to the functioning of the ecosystems. We think about little bugs and flies, things like that. They will help reduce the waste to things that we can use again. So, again, the key aspect would be our interrelatedness, and we are dependent on the ecosystem. The ecosystem doesn't really care if we're here or not.
Okay, so if we don't survive, the planet still will. What do you say to people who believe climate change is a hoax?
Well, when I talk to people about climate change, I want to start with the physics and the chemistry, and irrespective of what the beliefs might be, what the politics might be, go back to look at, see what the changes have been. The hottest 10 years of record have been the last 10 years. And the hottest temperature was in 2023 until 2024, which then became the hottest. And it's a consistent trend. It's the simple physics of it. The data are irrefutable.
So, Dr. Journay, what can we do? And what is SOCAN doing?
Well, the key is we have to recognize what we are doing, what our behaviors are that are contributing to the problem. There are several scenarios that the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has been focusing on. And what used to be called the worst case scenario, because we are very close to following that, has become known as business as usual. And when we look at the future, we have a tendency, and I say we, I think folks who are concerned about the climate crisis, we have a tendency to look at what that worst case scenario is likely to do to the planet. And as I look at the projections that are consistent with, which are, follow that scenario, what I'm looking at is, I'm a little less optimistic than Bill sounded just a moment ago when he thought he was suggesting that life will go on the planet. Yes, there probably will be a continuation of some form of life on the planet, but probably nothing like what we are familiar with, because it seems to me quite likely that if we don't change our behavior, and the change in behavior involves our reduction in use of fossil fuels and emissions of greenhouse gases, if we don't change that behavior, what I'm looking at is, my background is in biology, but we're likely to see by the end of the century, most of the natural ecosystems and biodiversity on the planet with which we're currently familiar are likely to be basically destroyed. But we don't have to follow that trajectory. We can be smarter than that. And we can change our behavior. We can, instead of using fossil fuels, we can use renewable energy. We can electrify as much in our daily lives as we possibly can. And one of the movements that's really gained a lot of traction of late is to encourage folks to electrify their homes and their transportation.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you both. Appreciate the job that you're both doing.
Next Tuesday, Medford Public Library. Listen to Bill talk about heat beneath the waves.
My guests were Dr. Alan Journay and Dr. Bill Gorham of SOCAN. Dr. Gorham will be speaking at the Medford Public Library on October 28th at 6 p.m. His presentation is titled Heat Beneath the Waves, How Climate Change Transforms Our Seas.